by perishable things like silver and gold, but the blood of Jesus, amen, it purchases us back into God. I'm always encouraged as we worship the risen Lord as a community of faith here at Friendship. If you're visiting with us today, we're in week 3 of a 4-week series on Elijah. And if you're here the first week, we burned some plows and we killed some cows. And last week, we discussed digging ditches. And today, we're going to focus on grabbing some jars. That'll make a little more sense as we get into our text. Next week, we're going to get our spiritual edge back as we look at the story of an axe head that fell into a body of water, and by the power of God, that axe head floated to the surface. So for those of you who have lost your spiritual edge, if there was a time when your fire burned brighter for God than it does right now, then I urge you to be here next Sunday. I believe the message today is going to minister to all, but I think it will especially resonate with those of you who are feeling overwhelmed. Anyone here feeling a bit overwhelmed with life? You feel like there's just too much going on? Friend, if you find yourself in need right now, if you feel like you don't have enough energy or you don't have enough time, maybe you're running low on faith these days, then I believe this message will build your faith and I believe it will minister to you in a special way. Just in the last 30 days, I've had multiple conversations reminding me of how common this type of pain can be. I was talking with a guy who was explaining to me his financial dilemma. And he said, "Jason, I am so far in a financial hole, I'm not sure that I'll ever dig myself out." I'm telling you, I could sense his pain. I could see it in his eyes. He was experiencing extreme financial pressure. Talked with a single mom who's working a full-time job, and she does some work on the side, and she is doing everything in her power to make ends meet for her and for her children. And she said, "Sometimes I feel like it's just too much. I don't have any help. I don't know how I can raise these kids on my own." Friend, if you are running on empty today, if you feel like there's just too much in one area of life or another, it is my prayer that God will use this story today to minister to you in a deep and life-changing way. So let's dive into our text. I want to start with two verses that will sort of establish the context, and then we will continue with the rest of the passage and allow God to speak to us. Let's start by reading 2 Kings chapter 4, the first two verses. The story begins, "Now a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves.' Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?' And she said, 'Your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil.'" Now let's unpack these verses because there's a lot for us here. We are not told this poor widow's name, so we don't know who she is. According to Jewish tradition, many believe that she was the wife of the prophet Obadiah. And if that were the case, then she would have certainly been in financial need. Obadiah was known for protecting and providing for 50 other prophets. So if this is Obadiah's wife, Obadiah would have likely taken all of the resources he had and he would have used them to meet the needs of other prophets. Church, it was not uncommon for a prophet's family to struggle financially because the prophet and his family, they spent the majority of their lives on the run. That they lived with the mindset of just trying to survive. It was very difficult for the family of a prophet to make ends meet. And so if you can picture this, we have a widow, and we assume that she is in her early to mid-30s. She has lost her husband. She has no chance at meaningful employment. Because in this culture, women were unemployable unless they took the job that no woman wants to take. You know what I'm saying, right? I'll just leave it there, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can ask somebody later. This widow is in a very difficult place. She has lost her husband. Now the creditor is coming after her two sons. The law said that if a person was unable to pay their debts, the creditors could take their sons as slaves. And they would remain slaves until they were released in the year of Jubilee. So it doesn't get any worse than this. Humanly speaking, this widow, she has no hope whatsoever. Her husband has died. She cannot pay her bills. She's now about to lose her sons. It doesn't get any worse than that. And church, this is something that I'm learning to remember when I face what I call life's smaller problems. It's amazing how fired up I can get about things that are really no big deal. For example, if you get fired up because the GPS on your iPhone took you to the wrong place, friend, that is an entry-level problem, right? I mean, that's not that big of a deal. If you go to the restaurant today and you get angry because they put too much goat cheese on your salad, that's an entry-level problem. That's not really that big of a deal. If you're discouraged because you only got 7 likes on your most recent Instagram selfie and no one put hashtag you are so beautiful, that's an entry-level problem, okay? Just to be clear on that. But the truth is that many of us today, we don't have entry-level problems. Some of us this morning have graduate-level problems going in and on our lives. Maybe your marriage is barely hanging on, and you're not sure that you're going to make it. Maybe someone that you love, they betrayed you. They lied about you, and what you thought you had, you don't even know what it is anymore. Maybe you have a child who's going the wrong way, and you are mature enough to know that if they keep going down this road, they are going to end up in a place that you don't ever want them to be. Some of you are in a financial mess, and you don't know how you're going to get out of it. For others, you might be dealing with a health issue. You went to the doctor, or someone you love has gone to the doctor, and if there's not a miracle from God, things don't look good. You are experiencing a graduate-level problem. And listen, friend, if you are in significant need today, I want to give you a key thought that I believe God is going to drive into our hearts in order to build our faith. And the key thought is this: when you don't have what you really want, you will discover that God is what you really need. Amen. Say that with me. When you don't have what you really want, you will discover that God is what you really need. Let's unpack this story so this key thought will come to life for us. This woman is in significant need, and she expresses her need to the prophet. What does Elijah do? Well, let me first tell you what he doesn't do. What he doesn't do is say, oh no, you've got a major problem. He doesn't say, wow, it stinks to be you. He doesn't blow her off. He doesn't say, oh, this is really bad. I'll be thinking about you. What does that even mean? I'll be thinking about you. Listen, if I'm hurting, don't tell me you're going to be thinking about me. Pray for me. Do something significant, right? I mean, do something powerful. Pray for me, but don't just say that I'll be thinking about you. Look in chapter 4, verse 2. What did Elijah say to the widow? He said these 6 words. He said, what shall I do for you? Is there anyone here who would like to make a difference in this world? Is there anyone here this morning that would like to be filled with joy? Friend, if so, then start every single day by saying, God, I am available as your representative. Anytime there is a need, God, I want to be a conduit to minister to this person. I want to be your hands and your feet and your voice. And when someone at the office says, I've got a problem, or I've got migraine headaches, or my husband is driving me crazy, or my kid is about to go off the deep end, what you should say is this: how can I help you? How can I help you? Make yourself available, just as Christ would do. And then Elijah says something that I believe is very profound. He respects her dignity, and he says, tell me, what do you have in your house? You'll notice that he doesn't say, I'm here with all the answers. No, he respects her dignity, and he says, let's start with what you have. Let's watch as God meets your needs through what you already have. And the widow replies, and she says, your maidservant has what? Help me out. What did she say? Has nothing in the house. Isn't it interesting that when you're hurting, when you're lacking, all you can see is what you don't have? Church, when you focus on what you don't have, you end up missing all the blessings that you do have. And I've done enough counseling to know that when we get down and we get depressed, we quickly become consumed with what we don't have. And we might say, I don't have enough money, so I can never be happy. Or I don't have a spouse, so I can't have a meaningful life. I've heard people say, my house, I'd love to host a Sunday school fellowship, but my house isn't nice enough. Like everybody knows, the Spirit of God can't move unless he moves on granite countertops, right? When we focus on what we don't have, we have the attitude that because I don't have what I want, life doesn't matter. I've known ladies who can walk into the closet with clothes hanging everywhere, and what do? They look around and they touch them all and they say, I have what? I have nothing to wear. Truth is, you could clothe an African village with what they have. And yet they say, I just have nothing to wear. It's easy for us to focus on what we don't have. When you're in need, we tend to focus on what we don't have, and that is exactly where this poor woman was. She lost everything. All she could see was what she lacked. So what would you do? What do you do when you don't have much? Let me give you the first principle. I would suggest, number one, that you stop waiting for what you want and you start working with what you have. That's the first key thought today, or first principle this morning. Stop waiting for what you want and start working with what you have. In verse 2, the prophet says, what do you have in your house? And the widow says, your maidservant has nothing in the house except what? Except a small jar of olive oil. The widow's thinking, I don't have anything except this one small jar of oil. Friend, we need to stop waiting for what we want. We need to start working with what we have. You might ask, what good is a small jar of olive oil? Well, olive oil was incredibly valuable. It was extremely rare. Olive oil had lots of important uses. It was used in cooking. It was used to burn lamps. Those are all good things. It was used as moisturizer because back then you didn't just walk down to Bath and Body Works and buy the stuff that you squirt on your face. Olive oil was used to keep leather pliable. It was used to keep iron from rusting. It was used as an offering to God. It was used to anoint God's servants in religious services. So olive oil was very valuable. But you'll notice that this widow didn't have a lot of olive oil. She only had a little. Church, I'm so thankful that we serve a God who specializes in doing a lot with a little. Amen? We serve a God who is absolutely capable of doing a lot with a little. We see it all through the Scripture. In the New Testament, after Jesus had taught thousands of people, he gets to the end of the lesson and everyone's hungry. And the disciples, they turned to Jesus and said, well, who's going to feed these thousands of people? The disciples looked at one another and they said, we don't have enough food to do this. But you'll remember there was a little boy. And that little boy said, I don't have a lot. I only have a little. The little boy said, you can have my lunch. All I have is five loaves and two fishes. And church, we witness that in the hands of the Son of God, a little became a lot. Jesus fed the thousands, even had 12 baskets left over. Is there anyone here who knows something about a God who can do a lot with a little? In the Old Testament, when the Israelite army was afraid of the Philistines because of one man named Goliath. Goliath had stood them down, but guess who God used? God used a little shepherd boy. God used David, who had a little bit of faith and he had a little stone. It was David who said to Goliath, "Who are you to come against the armies of my living God?" And the rest of the Israelite army, they're looking at Goliath and they said, he's too big to beat. David looked at Goliath and said, he's too big to miss. You guys need to duck. I'm going to take this giant down. And God used a little boy with a little faith and a little stone to take the giant down. Some of you might say, Jason, I'm running low on faith. All I have this morning is a little. Let me remind you, we serve a God who can do a lot with a little. Jesus taught his disciples, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be moved, and you will have what you ask for. Friend, we serve a God who can do a lot with a little. So Elijah asked the widow, what do you have in your house? He didn't ask her what she wanted. He didn't ask her what she needed. He said, what do you have? Church, let's stop waiting for what we want and let's start working with what we have because God has given us everything we need to do everything he wants us to do. Stop wanting something else and do the important assignment that God has given you to do. There may be a guy here who says, I'm not a good provider for my family because I don't make a six-figure income. Listen, God might say to you, you are home six nights a week with your wife and your children. That's important. Stop waiting for what you want. Start working with what you have. Man, I believe the most important thing you do may not be what you do, but it may be who you raise. Listen, when you're a godly example to your children, that is huge success. Stop waiting for what you want. Start working with what you have. Some of you might be stuck. You're thinking, but I don't make enough money to attract a good wife. And I don't have the kind of car that women want. I can't buy the kinds of clothes that women want. Listen, you find a woman who loves Jesus, and you lay your life down to serve her, and you will discover that you don't need material things to see the happiest woman blessed through and through. The first principle is that we must stop waiting for what we want, and we must start working with what we have. And the second principle from this awesome story is this, that we are to offer God what you have and trust Him to give you what you need. Offer God what you have and trust Him to give you what you need. Let's watch this unfold. 2 Kings 4, verse 3. Elijah said, then he said, go borrow vessels at large for yourself from all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Do not get a few. And you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour out into all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full. You see, when she had the faith to offer what she had, God would give her what she needed. And that's exactly what happened in verse 5. It says, so she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not one vessel more. And the oil what? And the oil stopped. As long as there was an empty jar flowing, would fill it. But when there were no more jars, the oil stopped flowing. Then she came and told the man of God, and Elijah said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest. Church, when she offered what she had, God gave her everything she needed. As long as there was an empty jar, the oil kept flowing. It seems like a ridiculous request. To ask her to empty out everything she has and to trust God to provide what she really needed, it seemed ridiculous. But friend, let me remind you, this is how God works. When we show Him our faith, He shows us His faithfulness. When you take what you have and you stop waiting for what you want, but you offer Him what you have, God will do something special. You'll notice that Elijah, he instructed the widow, get a bunch of jars. He didn't specify what color or what size or what shape. The only requirement was that the jars must be what? They needed to be empty. Church, it could have been any kind of jar. It could have been a milk jug. It could have been a peanut butter jar. It could have been a butter tub, because God can use any shape, size, or color. He just needs it to be empty. So how does this apply to you? How does it apply to me? In 2 Corinthians 4:7, the scripture says, but we have this treasure, which is Christ, in jars of clay. What's Paul referring to? You know what this is? Paul is referring to our bodies. He describes us as clay pots. Our bodies are dirt houses. That's what we are. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. The question is, what is God looking for today? God is looking for a few empty jars. Just when we empty ourselves of self, when we empty ourselves of pride and greed, when we empty ourselves of our own agendas and we come to God totally empty, that is when He fills us with oil. Oil has always been a symbol of the Holy Spirit. When we are filled by God, suddenly we realize that we don't have what we wanted, but we realize that it is God that we needed. Friend, you learn very quickly that Christ is enough, that He is sufficient in every single way. When you are weak, He is your strength. When you are hurting, He is your comforter. When you are lost, He is your guide. When you are hungry, He is the bread of life. When you are thirsty, He is living water. When life for you is unstable, He is the rock, the anchor that does not move. When you think, I don't have what I want, suddenly you discover that God is exactly what you need. So friend, if you're empty today, if you're lacking, let me tell you, if you will look to Christ, if you will surrender yourself to Him completely, you will discover that He is everything that you need. Listen, stop waiting for what you want and start working with what you have. Offer God what you have and trust Him to give you what you need. Because when you don't have what you really want, you'll discover that God is what you really need. For those of you who are hurting today, those who are without, those who are empty or overwhelmed, I believe God wants to reveal Himself to you in a deeper, in a more intimate way, maybe than you've ever known before. And I pray that God would fill empty vessels in this place today. That His presence would be exactly what we need. That He would give us a supernatural peace that goes beyond our human ability to comprehend. I pray that God would be our comforter, our strength, and our provider. I pray that He would build our faith as we offer to Him what we have and we trust Him to give us what we need. Friend, as you show your faith, I trust that God will allow you to experience His faithfulness. I believe the imagery in this story matters to every single one of us. I want you to think about this widow because I believe in many ways her story is your story and her story is mine. She had a debt that was impossible for her to repay. Friend, the Bible teaches that all of us have a debt that we cannot pay. We have a sin debt. All of us have sinned against a holy God, and we don't have the spiritual equity to make it right. All have sinned. All sin must be punished. All need salvation. All are offered salvation. All are without excuse. But only those who believe, only those who put their trust in Jesus will experience the love of God and eternal life. And friend, that is why the gospel is what every person on earth needs to experience. That word gospel simply means good news. Some might say it's too good to be true. I would tell you it's too good not to be true. Our good God, in His love and in His mercy, while we were still sinners, God sent Jesus, His one and only Son, to give His life on the cross. Jesus became sin for us. He died on the cross and rose again the third day so that all who call on His name will be made right with God. You know, there are many things in the Bible that are hard to understand, but salvation is certainly not one of them. In Acts 4:12, God made it very clear. He said, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved." Amen. Listen, friend, it doesn't matter who you are. And it doesn't matter what you've done or how bad you've been. The Bible says where sin abounds, God's grace abounds all the more. Amen. In order to be forgiven of your sin, you must surrender your life to God. Just give yourself to Him right where you are this morning. You say, "God, I give you my hurts. I give you my failures. God, I confess my sin to you. I empty myself of me so that you can fill me with you. God, I surrender my life to you." The Bible teaches that when you call upon Him for salvation, that He will forgive every sin. You will be filled with His Spirit. Your life will never be the same. When you don't have what you want, you're going to find that Christ is all you need. So by faith, will you call on Him right now? Just say to Him, "God, I need you. Today I give my life to you." Listen, salvation is too good to keep to yourself. I urge you to come and share with me your decision to follow Jesus Christ. If you need to pray at the altar, I'll meet you here. If a jar needs to be filled, then you take a step of faith before you leave this place today. And friend, if God is leading you to become a part of this church family, and you say yes to Him, would you pray with me? Father, we thank You that You're a God who does so much with so little. Father, we've witnessed it. We've seen firsthand that little is much when God is in it. So, Father, would You work in our lives this morning? Would You build our faith? Would You allow us to start with what's right in front of us? Instead of be focused on what we think we need or what we don't have. Lord, let us just begin with what's right in front of us, being faithful, being obedient, being your hands and your feet and your voice. Lord, allow us just to be an empty vessel that you might fill for your honor and for the purpose of your kingdom. Lord, I know there are many this morning here who are hurting, who are overwhelmed. They're not dealing with entry-level problems, but they have graduate-level problems. Father, I pray that as we look to you, I know that we will find that you are enough. God, move this morning in a mighty way in each of our lives. And Father, for those who do not know you as Lord and Savior of their life, I pray that today, they would surrender. Life would never be the same as you come to live inside. Father, we give you all the honor and glory for what you do here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.